Freedom from condemnation. Are you glad you're free in the Lord? I hope you are. If you're not, if you're still enslaved to sin, if you are unsaved or not born again, today's a good day to be born again or to be saved, come into the kingdom of God. Freedom from condemnation. I'm glad. Again, Independence Day, a free country, we celebrate that. The freedom in our country, and we're going to celebrate it all week, and we'll have our fireworks and all that kind of thing next Sunday night, and we'll celebrate it, and it's a good thing to celebrate. Many people have died for our freedoms. We know that. We honor them today. It's not Memorial Day. We know that, but at the same time, we think of it. People serving now around the world today, and we appreciate all that they've done. And I hope that this ability to live free will not be taken for granted. Do you take it for granted sometimes, yes or no? Probably so to some degree. We're mindful of everything that we stand for in our country, but we're used to freedom, and sometimes it takes some pretty big things on the scale to get us to think about it again, but we're very thankful for it, and I hope it never slips away. God created us to be free. Amen? Amen. That's when you say amen. God created us to be free. Amen? Amen. That's the way He created us. He said, listen, you're going to have free will. You get to choose how you live. Your choices will have consequences, but I want you to be a free people. You get to choose how you live this life. So the freedoms that we have. People through the years in ministry have been hung up on this freedom here. The freedom that there's now no condemnation in me because I am in Christ. That's a great, great freedom. That is something that we need to talk about, preach about, declare from the rooftops, or however you want to say it, because it's great to know. Now, many people have said through the times, now, preacher, you just don't know how I've lived. I say, okay, I don't know how you've lived. Maybe you don't know how I lived at one time. Well, but let me tell you about it. And some tell me about and some don't. And they say, how could God forgive me? How could God forgive me for this? I'm talking about the gospel. I'm talking about this great Jesus. I'm talking about this great plan of salvation that God had from the beginning. That's how, because Jesus took our place. But, you know, I remember what happened back then. Well, you may remember it, but God has forgiven you. And I really, truly believe that some Christians never really get off the runway, so to speak, into becoming a disciple and going on to discipleship and to really being used for God and in His kingdom, because they remember. And the devil's good at bringing back up things we may have done in the past or what have you, and they just can't get over the fact that they're forgiven. I want to tell you, that's the best news I know to tell you, that Jesus forgives. Yes, we have responsibilities in this life, but Jesus forgives, folks. If it was not for His grace and His mercy, you would not be where you're at today. I would not be where I'm at today. And you say, well, you sure got a long way to go, preacher. I might. But I wouldn't be where I am today without the forgiveness and the mercy of Almighty God. So, if you have, with a true heart, with a genuine, pure heart, asked for forgiveness of sin, I want to just reassure you today, through the Word of God, you're forgiven. There's no condemnation there anymore, and I'm thankful for it. It's a great freedom, and many Christians need to take hold of that, because when the enemy comes again and he strikes and he tries to discourage and whatever, a lot of people just feel paralyzed by guilt. They can't move in the freedom God wants them to move in because they're guilty. They feel guilty. And let me tell you something. If you've been forgiven, from your sins, listen, you're not guilty of those. Well, but again, you got to remember, preacher, and I just can't see how I can be forgiven of that. I don't see a lot of things, how things are possible, but the Word of God says that He forgives us of our sin if we ask with a pure heart. And that slate's wiped clean and we're forgiven. So, praise the Lord for it. So, if you're struggling, feeling that condemnation, if you're struggling with something in your life and you know you've asked for forgiveness, you know God has forgiven you, live in the freedom of Christ. You're not condemned anymore. And that brings us to the slide. Therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's not there. You've been born again. You've been covered by the blood of the Lamb. Chapter 8 here has been called the triumphant hymn of hope. A triumphant hymn of hope that we understand. You know, people used to say, if you can't do the time, don't commit the crime, and all those little jingles we hear. Well, Jesus says, listen, you committed the crime. Yes, you were living in sin because of the fall of man, Adam and Eve, and we could go way back and preach forever on that. But listen, when you accept me as Savior and Lord, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. I take that punishment away, and we need to praise God. There is no big N, big O condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Slate's wiped clean because of what Christ has done. So if God can forgive you, if Jesus can forgive you of your sin, then we ought to be forgiving other people. Amen? But you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they said about me. You don't know how they lied on me. You know, and it starts down here, especially in these little girls. They just go crazy. And then, yeah, yeah, boo, boo, and whoever. And then they get 13, 14. And I mean, this is not funny stuff. They're mean. I just hate to tell you, if y'all are hearing that age, you'll get over it someday. But then I look at 50 and 60-year-old women, and they're still doing the same thing. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble today. Sometimes, listen, amen, somebody said. Listen here, God forgave us of sin if we've asked, and we ought to be forgiving of other people too. So, praise the Lord for it. Romans 8:2, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Been set free from that law of sin and death, and now we're free. Free from the law of sin and death. That's a mouthful. It's a short sentence, but it says a lot in it. So now we have the Spirit of God living in us. We can ask for the Holy Spirit to live in us and guide us, and that indwelling of the Spirit helps us to live the way God wants us to live. So, competition here. Here's the sin and death and destruction. Here's life and it more abundantly, and they war at one another. You know, you got God and you got the devil. Been around a long time, going to be around a long time, but one day the devil's completely defeated. Be thrown in the lake of fire, and he'll be there forever and ever and forever. So we need to govern. We need to allow the Spirit of God to govern our lives and not the law of sin. So that's the competition, if you will. If sin is ruling, I guarantee you death is coming. If life and the things of God's in ruling, eternal life is coming in heaven. So which do we choose? We have that freedom. Look at Galatians 6:8. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So what are we sowing? What are we doing? Sow to please the sinful nature? Destruction. Sow to please the Spirit will reap eternal life. Romans 8:3-4 on the screen. For what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. According to the Spirit. Well, what are we striving for? How are we to live to please the Spirit? The law said this is what you're doing wrong. Here's all these things you're doing wrong. And here are the, quote, rules, if you will. But the law never said, how are you going to live to please these laws over here? It was just kind of the law we were supposed to keep, and then mankind couldn't do that, so we had to have help, and that's in Jesus Christ. So now God did a few things. The next slide you'll see God sent his Son. You know that story, but it's very important. He sent Jesus, his Son, in the flesh to live on this earth, to see how to know how we live, so he could identify with us. And then he died on the cross. You know that story. That was the sin offering that was needed, and he died for us. Now on the screen, you see the next slide. God condemns sin in the flesh. You imagine now the spotless Lamb of God, the sinless Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, on the cross. We saw the passion. We read the word. We know the crown of thorns. We know the nails in the hands and the feet. And we know the beatings. And we know his death. We know that. And he took your sin and mine. Therefore, knowing that, we should be striving to live a godly life and a holy life in this present world, because we must never forget the offering that he took there. That sin offering, my sin, your sin, the sin of the world, was upon Jesus Christ the Lord. He took care of that. And God condemned sin in the flesh. God broke that slavery to sin through Jesus. Now, the next slide, Jesus fulfilled the law for us. He fulfilled the law. Jesus fulfilled that. The law pointed out our problems and what we couldn't do, and then Jesus fulfilled the law and helps us live a holy life. And the only way you can live a holy life is through Christ and through the Spirit's help. So we need to understand God did his job here. He sent his Son. He condemned sin in the flesh, and Jesus fulfilled the law in us. He did his part. Now, do we have a part? And my answer to that is yes, we do. Romans 8:4, in order that righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So here comes our part. We must follow. We must walk after the what? The Spirit. Not the flesh. That's our part. And Christ said, in this freedom I'm giving you, you have a choice to do either one you like. Here it is. And I love you so much, I give you the choice. You can choose Jesus, my Son, be forgiven and live for him. You can choose the way of the world and the devil. You have that freedom. You have that choice. But here's what is right. But I give you the choice. And he says, walk according to the Spirit. But you have the choice. So it's not about following a bunch of rules necessarily, but being led by the Spirit of God who lives in us to do what he's calling us to do. Romans 8:5 on the screen. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. So now we talk about the soul, we talk about sin, now we're talking about the mind. The mind, you know, you got one of those things up in here. It works sometimes better than others, right? But you've got one. No matter how it's working this morning, you've got a mind. And he says here, those who live according to the sinful nature or the ways of the world, their mind is set upon that nature and what it desires. But those living in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. So our mind must be set upon the good things of God. We must be thinking about those things. So what helps us in that? What do we think about? What's going through our mind? What are we focusing on? Walking according to the Spirit or the flesh? I pray our minds are set upon the things of God, upon what the Spirit would have us do. That's why the Bible tells us to think upon those things that are just and right and pure and praiseworthy, that our mindset would be upon them. Not the flesh, but on the things of the Spirit. Do you think this would be a fair statement? If your mind is set upon the things of the world and the flesh, it would be hard to walk in the Spirit. What do you think about that statement? Think it's fair or not? If your mind set upon the world and the flesh and just the worldly things, it would be hard to walk in the Spirit. So he says, listen, the mind has something to do with it too. So set your mind, the things you think about, upon the good things of God. What's right and what's true and that kind of thing. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. How foolish the things of God seem to people who don't want anything to do with God or the church. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now, the mindset we choose and the life we live has consequences, and we will answer for those. Romans 8:6-8, the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. So he's saying, now here's part of these consequences. The mind of sinful man is death. All right? But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Flesh equals death. Spirit equals life and peace. So we choose who we serve. And then those consequences are very, very real. Well, I love Jesus. I believe there's a God. But you continue to walk in the flesh all the time. Well, I believe there's a God. I love Jesus. But the attitude is hostile toward the things of God. It doesn't match up. It won't match up here on this side. It won't match up in judgment and in eternity. Well, I love Jesus. I believe there's a God. Well, yeah, a lot of people believe there is a God and that Jesus is nice and all that. But then the life, the mindset, the action, the choices we make don't add up to what the Scripture says. So something's wrong. So we've got to make sure that in the day and age we live in, that we're not just saying a few words, that we're saying, yeah, you know, my grandmother went to church, and I know about church, and I went to Bible school when I was little, and everything's okay with me and God. People think there's some strange thoughts this day and time how you're right with God. And it still comes back to you're right with God through Jesus Christ the Lord, through repenting of sin. Where in the world did that word go? Repenting of sin, being sorry for sin, turning from sin, and turning to Jesus and living that way. It's part of the mindset. Focus upon. Forgive me there. Wherever that. Well, I don't know what that word means. focusing upon the good things of God and his the mindset being upon him, and then living out the things of righteousness and godliness, then it matches up to what God expects. But the bottom line is people want to go to heaven, but they don't want to live a life to get there. I want to go to heaven. Yeah, that'd be nice. Well, there's still one way to get there, and that's Jesus Christ, the Lord, and that's the only way. Those, verse 8 says, those that are in the flesh cannot please God. And why is that? Because you can't serve two masters at the same time. You're going to love one, you're going to hate the other. That's what Matthew 6 said. Romans 8, 9 through 11. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. Now, this is people that's born again, saved, got a relationship with the Lord, your mind set upon the things of God. You, however, are controlled, not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit's alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. We allow the Holy Spirit to live within us. We welcome him to live in us and lead us and guide us. And then we're making progress. When the heart and the mind is set upon the good things of God, we fix our eyes upon those things that Jesus is there. We start listening to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Then we're making progress because the Spirit is dwelling in us. And then verse 9 there says, then we belong to him. We belong to God. We're walking this Christian life. The Spirit of God lives within us and dwells in us, and therefore we're listening to his prompting. And the Spirit is made alive in us by Christ. So we praise the Lord for that. And he goes on talking about when he comes back, we'll be raised. That this the power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. So we praise the Lord for that. All right. Have you heard this statement before? The purpose of the gospel is not to make men happy, but to make them holy. Have you ever heard that before? One yes back here. Now I'm going to ask it again. That's the same question. The purpose of the gospel is not to make men happy, but to make them holy. You've heard that, huh? All right. To make us holy. Not always happy, but to make us holy. If God has a purpose, if you say, preacher, sum all this up for me. If God's desire, what does God want me to do? To sum it up real quick, the best thing I know to tell you is God wants you to be like his son Jesus. And he's in the process of making us like Jesus if we're living for him. And that's some type of journey, isn't it? So, are you in Christ? Have you been saved by the blood of Jesus? And are you living for him? If that's true of you, then there is no condemnation in you. You're not condemned. I don't care what the devil brings up from the past and says, remember when you did whatever. You can simply say to the devil, yes, I remember it, and you brought it up, but today it's under the blood of Christ. I live in the freedom of Jesus Christ who saved me. So devil, go take a hike in Jesus' name and by his blood. Because there's no condemnation here. God paved the way for me to have life. Well, are you walking in the flesh? Are you not saved? You're not a child of God. Then you're walking against the Spirit And the end of that conversation and consequences results in death, physical and spiritual. So, we all know where we're living today. We say, well, I'm so thankful we live in a free country. I am too. I'm so thankful that I can live in the freedom of Christ. I am too. So now, are we living in that freedom of Christ? Are we living the way the Spirit of God would have us to? I hope we are. And the thing about it is, it's our choice. And we have options right here today. We have options. The service is going to close. We're going to go out of here and no service tonight. And we'll be fooling around doing whatever we're going to do with families and friends. And we'll do all this firework stuff. But the bottom line is, right here, right now, we all have a choice. God says, you have freedom. Here it is. You know, you're going to follow me, or you're going to follow the way of the world. Here's the choice, okay? You say, well, no, I know I'm not living the way I should. I know I've not asked Christ to forgive me. Well, right here, today, now, here and now, the choice is yours. Will you ask for forgiveness of sin? Become a Christian. The choice is yours. You say, well, listen, preacher, I'm a Christian. I know I love the Lord. I know He saved me. Praise the Lord for it. Do you want a little deeper walk? Do you want the Holy Spirit? Do you want to listen? Do you want to sense more of the indwelling of the Spirit and leading you what to do in life? Again, the choice is ours. Well, the Lord loves us, and I pray wherever you find yourself this day, you'll realize His love is for you. Would you stand with me? Our Father in heaven, we can't thank you enough for all the provision you've made for mankind. We can go back and we can read how man have just been on a destructive course. At the very beginning, everything was so perfect in the garden. And then this thing called sin entered in. Adam and Eve went against what you told them. The fall of man came, and ever since, we've had a problem dealing with this thing called sin. But we are so very thankful that we can read the Old Testament, we can read all the laws, we can read all the offerings that had to be given, and we just keep on reading, and we find at the perfect time, Lord God, you sent your Son. And He grew up, and He died for our sin, and He was raised again out of that old tomb and grave on the third day to give us victory. And you've given us the choice to be saved, the choice to follow you, the choice to allow the Holy Spirit of God to lead our lives, whether we're young or we're old or we're middle-aged, whatever stage of life we're in today, I'm glad you're available. I'm glad, Lord, if we walked in here with a whole bunch of burdens on our shoulders, or if we came in feeling so free and well and light as a feather, that you are God and we have a Savior in Jesus. And wherever we find ourselves today, that you love us. And we have a choice to make right here and now. If we're lost, we have a choice to come and ask Jesus to forgive us of sin. If we're saved and got an area we're struggling in, we have a choice whether to say, God, I need your help in this area of life. I want the power of the Spirit of God living in me. We have a choice today if our mind is on things it should not be. And if we should have the mindset of Christ, to set our mind upon the good things of God, the things of the Spirit. So, Lord, you know us better than anyone, and we pray that you simply have your way with all of us this moment in time, right here and now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.